Plenty of news to get to, but right now we want to run off to the phone lines. It's every couple of weeks we are grateful to visit with Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints on News Radio 101 FM during Decatur Today. Find them online at wirepoints.org for the latest news and information and great investigative pieces too, digging into the layers of politics here in the state of Illinois. How are you, my friend? Summertime just doesn't want to seem to let go, at least not down here in central Illinois.
No, not here either, Jeff. It's going to be a hot one here, too, but we'll take it while we can.
We definitely will. I know a lot of people are ready for a little bit of cooler weather, but I'll take the summer months anytime over January. But regardless, it is another beautiful day in the neighborhood, but there's always plenty of news to talk about, and one of those things is the fact that you guys have done some digging into what the potential outcome could be with the continued exodus of people from the state of Illinois. And one of the things that you looked at was especially focused on the effect of young people leaving the state of Illinois. And what have you guys found there at WirePoint so far?
Yeah, Jeff, and remember, we talk about these things not because we're happy to point them out.
Right.
Bad news. It's like we better hurry up and do something about our failed policies and you know what our legislature and our governor are doing about these things, because what we found is, you know, people always think, yeah, it was a bunch of old people, retired people who leave Illinois, you know, good riddance, and maybe it's, you know, Ken Griffin, you know, from Citadel here and there, a couple of rich guys, but overall we're okay. And you've even heard the governor say that we're attracting young people, and we looked at the data and said, uh-oh. You know, you look at, we lose all of our young people. We lose every age bracket in Illinois on net to other states. But we looked at the people who are 26 to 35 years old. So you're talking about the young, vibrant people who are getting started, you know, families and businesses and all that, and those making more than $200,000. And what we found is that we're the third biggest loser net of those people to other states. We are losing our young, dynamic leaders, the people who paid lots of taxes to fund, you know, policing, to fund education, to fund health care. They're leaving for other states, and so we better watch out, because we're losing our future. That's bad news.
Absolutely, that's bad news, because these young people, especially in that age demographic that you talked about, they are definitely more mobile than somebody, say, in their 40s and 50s. You know, you stay, you get settled, you build the house or you buy the house and you have the family and you get settled in. But these young people are the ones who not only do they have their college degrees, they start looking around and talking to other people, their friends, who have maybe already moved away, and they realize there's more opportunity and less taxation in these other states than what they're doing here, and they are definitely able to be more mobile than the older generations.
Well, yeah, and not only are they more mobile, they're more mobile today than they were 10 years ago with all the digital age. Now you can set up shop anywhere. So, you know, it's interesting that the average income of the households, group of 26 to 35 year olds, the average income for these making more than $200,000 was $435,000. So you're talking about, you know, a really powerful group. And not only that, we looked at the last 10 years and the gap is widening. We've been losing on net to other states, these households, but now it's really accelerating where we're losing far more than we're getting in. And so, the net losses are big.
Without a question. Visiting with Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints on News Radio 101 FM. And one of the things, obviously, and I know a lot of young people, and, you know, they get enamored with the big cities, especially, and obviously here in the state of Illinois, they're looking at Chicago. But I think a lot of them, maybe especially from, you know, south of I-80, may come up to the city of Chicago, and while they may think it's a terrific place, they also realize that, you know, crime is through the roof and the cost of living there is definitely, you know, exponentially higher than what they could encounter in the southern part of the state. And so they may be looking at other larger cities throughout the country that may be more friendly and more appealing to them. And so they're more than willing to take their wealth elsewhere. Did I lose you?
Oops, I had myself on mute while I was talking.
That's okay. No, that's all right.
Yeah, no, that's precisely right. And there are a lot of choices. And, you're talking about, Chicago, Illinois, great places, right, historically. But, these other places in dynamism are really kicking in. And, you're talking about places that people didn't think about before. There's a lot of people moving to Utah. There's a lot of people moving to South Carolina, North Carolina. So there's a lot of choices, especially in this digital age. And so, be smart. And that's why we're screaming from the rooftops these things, because right now our media, with the exception of a few places like yours, are willing to talk about it and not be shunned. But most media won't talk about this, and they'll just accept whatever the government is saying, that things are fine and everybody's doing well and all that, and it's not true.
Well, and that's what, and getting back to, the city of Chicago, and especially talking about crime, Chicago crime up 40% compared to back in 2019 from the latest numbers. And, Mayor Johnson just implements a hiring freeze for law enforcement. How does that even equate? How does that even make sense to anybody that is living in the city of Chicago and in the rest of the state, is for that fact?
Well, a big part of the problem is the city's broke, right? They're talking about $1 billion shortfall next year because, they spent money on the immigrants. They spent over like close to $400 million on immigrants. So now they don't have money to pay for ordinary people, to pay for crime, for public safety. And so this is a big thing. He caught a lot of grief on it. He's gone back on that freeze. But the big problem is that he's running out of money. And he hasn't solved the crime problem. There's a big thing about the shot spotter, this thing that, tracks shootings. And there's a big fight about that in the city now. But you're starting to see the full-fledged problems break out. His lack of ability to manage the city is showing up. And then you're going to soon start seeing him demand more money from the state, meaning state taxpayers, including people from Decatur.
And it doesn't seem, at least on the surface, it doesn't seem that Governor Pritzker is very receptive to that fact. I we keep hearing now rumbles that there might be some internal friction between the governor and the mayor of Chicago, but I guarantee you, being the Democrat allies that they are, they will support each other. But you're hearing starting the rumbles that the governor realizes he can't push the rest of the state just to keep carrying Chicago's water.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Look, they're on the same side. They have a lot of the same ideology. I would say that Pritzker is much more of a professional. He knows how to manage the brand and try to protect it. Brandon Johnson's doesn't, he's still trying to figure out what the heck he's doing. And I don't think that Governor Pritzker appreciates Mayor Johnson's brand of management. And so as things get worse in Chicago, Pritzker's, I don't think they're going to get along. And especially when Johnson starts to ask for a lot more money, given that Pritzker's going to have his own problems with his own budget as well.
Just real quick, as somebody who's very plugged into that area, when does the population's patience run out? Because I think there are a lot of people that may be looking around, going, "Who voted for this guy?" All of a sudden, going, "Wait a minute, we got rid of Lori Lightfoot, and now we've got this." It doesn't seem to be any better. In fact, it seems to be a heck of a lot worse than under Lightfoot's leadership, if that is even possible.
Yeah, can it be worse? And, it is worse because, Lightfoot, and she proved herself to be a very unsuccessful manager of the city. But she at least stood up to some things. Johnson is, fully embracing the union powers of the Chicago Teachers Union and his equity agenda. And I don't think he has any sense of fiscal discipline. And so I think he's learning that right now, and he's getting pushback. And he's even getting turned, he's even being challenged by his city council. That happened yesterday, where they agreed to continue this shot spotter, this shooting detector, over his demands that they cancel the contract. So we'll see what happens there. But he's being challenged, and it's going to get tough for him.
And I guarantee you, those people in those neighborhoods that are served by ShotSpotter are more than happy with the service, and probably will be very disappointed if he does go ahead and veto that support of that contract. Visiting with Ted Dabrowski, the president of WirePoints, on News Radio 101 FM. Jumping off into another direction, the U.S. House, I believe it was late last week, early this week, have voted to basically ban the DHS from using electric batteries manufactured by Gotion, which is a large red flag for the Gotion plant there in Manteno, but also the one up in Michigan. They got a real problem on their hands.
Well, yeah, this has been a really convoluted mess already, because I think we've talked about it before, that, you know, at the Washington, D.C. level, at the Biden level, a lot of his executives don't like the influence that China has. You know, they've been really opposed to the intelligence problems that China creates. And so they've spoken really poorly about China. And yet at the same time, you know, here in Illinois and also in Michigan, Whitmer in Michigan and Pritzker here in Illinois have been pushing really hard for these Chinese-run, Chinese-owned, effectively, you know, battery maker, Gotion, and you know, hundreds of millions in subsidies for these, you know, $536 million from Illinois State, and not to mention there's potential for billions of dollars from the federal government. And we're talking about technology that that is a national security issue, because battery technology will be used in defense, obviously. And so here we are subsidizing something that we shouldn't be. But now Democrats are starting to worry about what that means politically with the elections coming up. And so even Democrats are starting to go against Gotion. So we'll see how this plays out for Gotion in Illinois and Pritzker support for it.
Well, and it's even funnier because you're getting rumbles out of Washington, D.C. on this. And there's a lot of the Democrats on Capitol Hill that they've been, and even, well, especially the Republicans, too. But they've even been rumbling that, yeah, we're a little bit too close to this company, because everybody kind of knows that any Chinese company is really beholden to the government of China, because there really is no autonomy when it comes to that. If you have one, you definitely have the other, and there's a lot of red flags being sounded about not only, you know, China buying up farmland, et cetera, but also, you know, getting heavily involved in, you know, the electric industry and the green energy industry here in the United States. And they're even recognizing this on Capitol Hill. And
exactly,
it's just a large security problem. And hopefully the powers that be in D.C. will, you know, definitely be working more to kind of quash some of these deals, because it's not good for the United States, and it's definitely not good for the state of Illinois. Real quick, I did want to ask you, when we emailed yesterday, I did want to ask you if we had a minute to talk about the House resolution. This was the first thing that really has pushed through in any kind of substance out in Washington, D.C., but it was U.S. House Resolution 9462, the Educational Choice for Children Act, which allows a tax credit for charitable donations to nonprofit organizations that are providing scholarships to qualified elementary and secondary students. This especially is important to people here in the state of Illinois who were, you know, got the shaft from the legislators by not renewing the Invest in Kids Act. But I also found it telling that Congressman Danny Davis has come out in opposition of the proposal for the simple fact that he quote unquote says it undermines public schools. Who do you think is, you know, has him on, you know, on their donation roll?
Exactly. Yeah, undermine public schools. I mean, you know, we should care about the children, not the public schools themselves, right? And we've talked about that. Kids can't read, kids can't do math, and, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say that, because in many of these schools, it's horrific and sad as to how bad it's gotten. So it's really interesting. And I think what this says is, like, you know, you're seeing a huge school choice movement happen across the country, but not in blue states. And so this is, you know, one of these things that at the federal government, they're trying to come around it and say, hey, let's pass something that provides these. Now, it's interesting because, you know, I'm a massive school choice advocate. It is interesting, though, you know, there's some people who want to get rid of the Department of Education at the federal level. Like, do we need the federal government involved in education? And but, you know, so here you go. Here's something coming from the federal government again. So it's a little tricky, but you know, we want more school choice. We want more alternatives And we certainly want that pressure on places like Illinois to pass school choice.
Well, and that goes, that is very true. And again, you have the, just on wirepoints.org, right there at the very top, you see the black box that says kids can't read. But you can find your school district's report card right there, and the numbers are abysmal, as we've talked about on multiple occasions. But, and this goes back to what you had said about Mayor Johnson being beholden to the teachers' unions, and here you have Congressman Danny Davis basically the same scenario, beholden to the unions because they're the ones who are definitely actively pushing to kill school choice and succeeded here in the state of Illinois. But the rest of the states, especially these states and the parents that have gotten involved and engaged, you know, since COVID, they realize the kids aren't getting the education that they need, and they need to have it. And so I think you're finally seeing some serious movement, whether it's, you know, a little tricky or not. The ultimate goal is having our kids get the best education as humanly possible here in the United States of America. And that's something that I think we all owe to the next generation.
That's right. I think, we want the money to follow the kids. And that's why I'd rather not do tax credit scholarships. I'd rather the money, the public money that's designated, it shouldn't go to school districts. It shouldn't go to bureaucrats. It should follow the kids wherever they want to go to school. Let them find the best school for them. And that's really what we ultimately need to get to. And that's, it's called universal school choice.
Well, Lord knows the rest of us are all spending a lot of money in our taxes paying for, over $12 billion, probably be $14 billion by the time all is said and done next year to the public school system. There should be accountability for that kind of money being spent on kids as opposed to the dismal numbers that we see every year.
Well, I appreciate you bringing this to light because it's so important to school choice and educational freedom, we should call it. It's just, it's key.
Absolutely right. It is always a pleasure. Where can folks find the website and how can they sign up for the newsletter, my friend?
Well, please sign up at wirepoints.org, wirepoints.org, and at wirepoints and social media. And, the whole goal is to get more people engaged, and we got to push back because we should be a great, great state in this country and not be one of the laggards.
Without a question. Ted, always a pleasure. Have a great rest of the week. Stay cool, and we'll catch up again in a couple of weeks.
Bye-bye.
Ted Dabrowski, the president of Wirepoints on News Radio 101 FM at 1228.